March is National Social Work Month. I knew you had that on your calendar, so I just wanted to remind you. But I wanted to talk about this because I hear from my friends and colleagues and parents who have children that mental health services are scarce. There are waiting lists for adults and for children who need treatment. When these types of services are lacking, we have more crime, we have more suicide and other problems in our society, and that's been documented by studies. So with us to talk today about some of the new laws that could further impact this issue is Joel Rubin. He is the executive director of the Illinois chapter of National Association of Social Workers. Joel, thank you so much for joining us, and happy Social Work Month to you.
Well, thank you, Karen, and I appreciate the reminder to all your listeners that it is Social Work Month. We have two more days.
Two more days, right. to celebrate, I guess.
Thank you for, exactly.
So I want to just kind of maybe talk a little bit about Social Work 101. And, you know, I think some people are sometimes confused what social workers do, what's their education in relation to psychologists. But can you just tell us first, what is a social worker? Where will you find them? And what is the education that they get to be a licensed social worker?
Sure. Well, first of all, there are 30,000 licensed social workers here in the state of Illinois. Basically, our training for social work is a BSW, Bachelor's in Social Work, or the MSW, the Master's in Social Work, which is the terminal degree. The majority of social workers who are practicing and nationwide, there are roughly 250,000 licensed clinical social workers. They're all required to have a social work degree, an MSW, and licensure to practice independently. And that's the same case here in Illinois.
Okay. And so where do you find social workers? I mean, you find them in hospitals and nursing homes. Where else would you find a social worker?
You find social workers everywhere. Like you said, in nursing homes, in hospitals, in private practice, in courts sometimes, in corporations, in classic community mental health centers, in foster care, in adoption. You find social workers everywhere. You find social workers also in local, state, and federal government. We have four social workers in the Illinois General Assembly.
Interesting. So, it compared to a psychologist, it's a little bit less schooling, but are they kind of the same as far as what services they provide for their clients and patients?
Yeah, I think what makes social workers stand out is that we use a person and environment lens, which means that individuals can be best understood in the context of their environment, which can include things like someone's family, their health, their spiritual or religious beliefs, their social identity, political views. And so I think that is really makes what really makes us stand out. And our scope includes really three basic areas. One is micro practice or direct practice. And then clinical work, obviously, as I noted earlier, requires a license. And here in Illinois, that's the licensed clinical social work license. And micro practice focuses on helping individuals, families, and groups with emotional, financial, or basic needs. And this is often, again, referred to as direct practice. Second scope is what is referred to as meso practice, which provides direct work, but generally in small communities such as schools, churches, and neighborhoods. And lastly is something that's called macro practice, which addresses sort of these bigger problems, some of the things that you were even started the show with today about, you know, let's look at these issues around the shortage of mental health professionals. And so macro practice looks at a broader view of impacting systemic injustice or change. And so I'm a macro practitioner. I run the National Association of Social Workers. I have an LSW, a licensed social worker. That's my level of licensure. But I've been a macro practitioner most of my career, whether it's policy administration or, you know, raising money.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about finding social workers, finding help, and for people out there who can't find help for their children or themselves, where they might go. And we're also going to be talking about some new laws that might impact this very issue. We're talking to Joel Rubin. He is the executive director of the Illinois chapter of National Association of Social Workers. There is a well-recognized, well-documented issue that there is a shortage of mental health professionals. I looked up some statistics here. I could be off a little bit, but it looks to be that 40% of people live in an area where there's a shortage. And in 2024, 23% of Americans have a mental illness, and about one half did not receive treatment. Can you tell us why there is this shortage of mental health professionals to treat the people who need it?
Yeah, it's a complicated answer, but let's take the example of Illinois. So there are shortages in Illinois, not only in rural areas, but also in urban areas. And so part of that has to do with someone's insurance, and sometimes the challenges that some clinicians have, whether or not they want to accept insurance as well, or whether or not whether or not someone's insurance will cover their treatment. That's part of it. The other is, as you noted, we have the demands now for mental health services are significant. We saw obviously a significant uptick during and following COVID, and then, you know, part of the other issue is, it's more of a systemic issue, is that how do you increase the pipeline or reduce barriers for people who want to be clinicians or social workers to increase the number of people that will be able to serve individuals and families.
So, Joel, and I've heard this over and over again, COVID caused all kinds of problems with mental health. Just make this simple for us. You know, what would be the reason for that? Why would kids be, was it the disruption of their routine? Is it the change in family dynamics? Like, what is it that caused the problems that are creating this great need for social workers and mental health professionals?
Well, if we start with kids, I think one of the bigger challenges, and for those out there that have had kids in grammar school or high school or even college during COVID, know that all of a sudden you're not able to, you know, get together with people. You're not able to interact, not able to hang out with friends and things like that. So I think that has been sort of really disrupted people's lives. And then I think another bigger challenge that we've seen with this as well is that how youth now will seek out mental health services through the internet, through AI, and that's a whole other bigger challenge as well. But COVID has definitely had an impact on that. I think one of the interesting perspectives is that something that's been around for a long time, telehealth, not only in mental health but in physical health, is obviously been a significant set significant practical benefits for social practice, but again, it presents a challenge for the relational, you know, the relational skills that social workers rely on in face-to-face, in-person practice.
Is it really a problem? Is it harder to connect with patients in a telehealth situation? And, you know, as a family law practitioner, I miss in-person meetings. I do. I miss the body language. I miss some of the, even just reaching out and being able to shake someone's hand is a significant thing when you're trying to comfort them. Is telehealth, have there been studies done that show that telehealth, while you are, you know, getting more people help, you may not be helping them as well?
You know, I think there's, the research is emerging on this, Karen, but I will say what you just mentioned about things in the legal profession are similar things that social workers feel. And I talk to to many clinicians within our membership and around the state who have now more and more practice, you know, online. And I think there's a difference when you start with a client virtually as opposed to you may have been seeing that client face-to-face, so you already have that relationship. So all those things that you're talking about, all those cues, you know, those cues that you would take in any kind of in-person interaction, you know, we have, you know, different skills have to be developed for that as well.
One of the things that I'm concerned about and that I see in the family law practice when couples are breaking up, there's all kinds of reasons, of course, and it's usually not just one reason. It could be a multitude. But I see a lot of gambling addiction, more than I have ever seen. And that just causes so many problems. It, you know, money is tight. That causes stress. People are wasting money on gambling and not telling the partner. And sometimes it gets violent because people who are in an addiction situation want to protect their ability to continue to practice their addiction. And so I've seen domestic violence relating to gambling. Have you in your practices and with the people that you represent in Illinois who are social workers, have you seen that and have seen the problems that are arising?
Yeah, I think it's one of many addictions now. And unfortunately, and, you know, we're talking about this, you know, as we head into the final four.
Right, exactly.
Next week.
Exactly.
So I think that, unfortunately, you know, we open up by, you know, different, you know, laws and federal laws, you know, things that were passed a couple of years ago that sort of opened the floodgates to this without really thinking what the long-term issues are. And I think it's one of many addictions, and I think that, you know, social workers are gaining new skills on how to deal with these kinds of addictive behaviors.
Yeah, it's and plus all the online gambling now, and the, I forgot what it's called, where you can basically bet on anything at all these days. It creates so many problems, and I see young people getting hooked at a very, very early age. One of the things that I know you wanted to talk about is that this current administration is trying to, if I'm not mistaken, declassify social work as a non-professional degree. Can you explain what that means and why the administration would be motivated to do something like that?
Well, first of all, let me just say I'm not going to speak about this administration's motivations on a lot of things, but in this particular area, this has been a bit of a head scratcher for us. Nonetheless, we've been very adamant in saying that. Let me frame the issue first.
Yes.
Basically, what is going on here is that the declassification has to do with the ability to take out student loans for one's education. So basically, federal student loans make higher education a possibility for folks that don't have the means to finance their schooling. And so basically the proposed change with that and the declassification would be to reduce the level of borrowing to just a little over $20,000 a year. And if you, you know, many of your listeners know that undergraduate and graduate education these days cost a lot more money than that. So that's been one of the things that we've been really sort of, you know, we had over 30,000 people sign a petition to the Department of Education, and then thousands more that submitted comments about this as well. So the comment period ended at the beginning of March, and so you know, and another piece too, without adequate federal student loans, you know, students are going to be forced into the private loan market, which, you know, doesn't afford the same protection against certain things like exorbitant interest rates and predatory loan practice.
Understood. So it's a matter of student loans. Okay, that just doesn't sound like a good thing considering there's not enough help to begin with. Joel Rubin, thank you so much for joining us. Joel is the executive director of the Illinois chapter of National Association of Social Workers. Thank you so much for joining us and filling us in on some of these new issues. Thank you.